Hello, folks. This is Will Aitchison with a special edition of the LRAS podcast series. Well, it's finally out. On the last day of the Supreme Court's 2017 term, we have the long-awaited decision in Janus versus AFSCME, and the news could not be worse for public safety unions. The court has held by the now very familiar 5-4 margin that fair share payments are illegal anywhere in the public sector unless the employee explicitly consents to the fair share payments. In the process, the court overrules one of its longest standing First Amendment public sector cases, that of Abood versus City of Detroit, which has been around for 41 years and repeatedly reaffirmed by the court. The court changes its mind on Abood and finds that fair share payments violate the free speech rights protected under the First Amendment of non-members. How does the court get to this decision? The court, first of all, equates money with speech, something that it has done for a long time. And in the public sector, the court reasons that since unions are necessarily involved in issues of public importance, the use of money by public sector unions is the equivalent of speech. That means, says the court, that we have to analyze whether or not there is a countervailing governmental interest in allowing fair share payments. So far, nothing terribly new about this, because in the old 41-year-old Abood case, the court acknowledged that union dues in the public sector were speech. This is where the court changes its jurisprudence. The court analyzes whether or not there is a overriding public interest in allowing fair share payments using an extremely strict standard. The court had to deal with one overriding problem. Let's call it the free rider problem. And that is the notion that public sector unions, when they become the exclusive representative of employees, have a duty of fair representation to everybody in the bargaining unit, whether they are members or not. That means that a non-member could simply sit back, not pay anything to the union, and demand the same duty of fair representation as members who pay full union dues. This is what courts have since Abood called the free rider problem. And in Abood, the court found that this justification, avoiding free riders, overrode the First Amendment interests of non-members because of the notion of labor peace. Essentially, what you would have would be factions developing in a bargaining unit, member versus non-member, and that would get in the way of the labor peace that is sought by public sector collective bargaining laws. In its current iteration, today's opinion, the Supreme Court changes the results of that balance and finds that while the free rider problem exists, it does not override the free speech rights of non-members. And the court reaches this result by pointing to two things. First of all, it says, look, unions, it shouldn't be a problem for you representing non-members because you get all sorts of benefits by virtue of your status as the exclusive representative for employees in the bargaining unit. You're given, and I'm quoting, a privileged place in negotiations over wages, benefits, and working conditions. You get the right to speak for all employees and to bargain with the employer. Your designation as an exclusive representative thus, and I'm quoting again, results in a tremendous increase in the power of the union. Not only that, says the court, you get special privileges, such as obtaining information about employees and employee wages and other benefits. These benefits all inure to the union. And they, in the words of the court, and I'm quoting again, greatly outweigh any extra burden imposed by the duty of providing fair representation for non-members. The court then turns to the second half of the analysis. What about, says the court, the representation of non-members in grievance proceedings? Well, the court says we have to understand unions don't undertake this activity, representing non-members in grievance proceedings, solely for the benefit of non-members, because what happens in a grievance proceeding for a non-member could affect everybody in the labor organization. And thus, unions actually derive a benefit from the representation of non-members in the grievance process, a benefit that overrides the free rider problem. Secondly, the court says, look, whatever modest burden is imposed by the representation of non-members in disciplinary matters, that can be dealt with by state legislatures. They can simply, for example, eliminate the duty of fair representation that a union has to non-members. May require a statutory change, but they can simply eliminate that duty of fair representation. Or they can allow non-members to represent themselves in the grievance process. The court ends up concluding that Abood was wrongly decided to begin with, needs to be overturned, and that there can be no more countenancing of the violation of the free speech rights of non-members. I'm going to read you one of the court's concluding paragraphs here. We recognize that the loss of payments from non-members may cause unions to experience unpleasant transition costs in the short term and may require unions to make adjustments in order to attract and retain members. But we must weigh these disadvantages against the considerable windfall that unions have received under Abood for the past 41 years. It is hard to estimate how many billions of dollars have been taken from non-members and transferred to public sector unions in violation of the First Amendment. So what this means, what this decision means, I'm going to ignore the dissenting opinions for now. I'll give this case much more thorough treatment in our upcoming First Thursday podcast in July. What this means right now is that fair share, compulsory fair share in this country is immediately illegal. What about employees who have elected to be fair share members as an alternative to being a full member in a system where they really only had a choice between those two options? You either are a full member or you're a fair share member. I think, and this is very early, I think a fair reading of the court's opinion is that unions are going to have to immediately terminate the fair share payments of those employees and get consent from those employees either to have full union dues deducted from their checks or simply fair share payments. It is easy to predict that this decision is going to cause public sector unions to consider doing one of two things. I've referred to them in prior podcasts as the carrot and the stick. The stick being that public sector unions are going to need to consider doing precisely what it is the court suggested, going to state legislatures, or if you bargain under a local ordinance, a city council or a county board of commission, and seek to eliminate the duty of fair representation for non-members. It's hard for me to understand, the court's words notwithstanding, why a union would ever want to spend membership money in order to represent non-members, particularly when the cost of handling a grievance can move into the tens and even hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending upon the complexity of the grievance. The second thing that is easy to predict is that public sector unions are going to have to do something to attract and maintain members. The kicker here is that the something can't be within the scope of representation. It can't be something that is a mandatory subject for collective bargaining. It has to be something more, because a union is not allowed, even under this decision in Janus today, not allowed to distinguish between members and non-members with respect to mandatory subjects of bargaining. Just a couple of concluding words for you, because I want to get this out and up on the airwaves as soon as possible. This isn't a constitutional decision the court has rendered here. This is, by the way, a very long opinion. It's 83 pages long. The majority opinion is roughly 50 pages long. This isn't a constitutional opinion. This is a political opinion. And this is a political opinion that has been long sought by conservative voices in the employment world, led by the Right to Work Foundation. That's a nonprofit in Virginia. These are voices that are not completely, but supported in large measure by the Koch brothers, and they won today. This is going to be the makeup of the Supreme Court for the foreseeable future. So this decision, Janus, will remain good law for the foreseeable future. The court's analysis that public sector unions derive a benefit from representing non-members, that's really a flight of fantasy. That is not any sort of factual analysis that any union I know would ever agree with. And the notion that that unions have reaped a benefit of billions of dollars wrongfully taken from them under the First Amendment since Abood, that's a bit of a fantasy as well, because the holding in Abood was that fair share payments are constitutional. This was all legally done. But all that notwithstanding, this is the court's opinion. It is what our future is going to be like for a long time. We can rail all we want about the court's logic, but it doesn't matter. This brings to mind a quote from a 1950s era Supreme Court justice who once said, "We are not final. Our decisions are not final because we are right. We are right because our decisions are final." And Abood, as of today, is final. Join us for our July 1st Thursday podcast. I'll have much more on Abood and talk about more to in terms of the fallout from the decision and what public safety unions are going to do. For now, this is Will Aitchison signing off.